This is Spiritual Civilization, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about vision and personality.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Spiritual Civilization. My name is Pastor Evans Ochieng, and I am joined by very astute gentlemen who are here with me. On my extreme left, we have Mr. Leli Mandela, a very, very nice coat that he's wearing, as you can see. And then right next to me here on my left, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Deacon Robinson Oluoch Omul. Mm. And then on my extreme right, the seat of power, we have the cardinal, the dean of the African Cathedral, the man himself, Reverend Richard Mwendo. And today, we are having spiritual civilization, hosted by One Desire Fellowship. And I will just lead us in a word of prayer as we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this day, O God, thanking you for this broadcast, my God. We thank you, my Father, because, O Lord, you are with us today, Jehovah, my God. I commit this discussion before your loving hands, my Father, God. I pray for your spirit, my God. And even for those who are viewing, O Lord, loving Father, God, this broadcast, my God, I pray that, my Father, God, you may touch them wherever they are, my Father. May you give them understanding of the things that we will discuss, my Father, God. May you give them clarity, my God, in every area of their lives, my Father, God, that they are trusting in you for, Jehovah, my Father. I pray that, my Father, as we begin, my God, may you give us understanding, may you give us revelation, my God, and above all, may you be glorified. We pray all this believing and trusting in Jesus' name, we pray and believe.
Amen.
This moment, I would like to hand over to our Father in the Lord, Bishop Gobanga J.O. Bishop.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's wonderful that we are gathered here today. For yet another exciting moment of conversation within the construct of fellowship. Today we have a very interesting subject, or topic rather, that we'd like to take time to just break it down, vision and personality. I know when the word vision is mentioned to most of you, many things will tend to cross over your mind. And the truth of the matter is that most times when we think about vision, we think about the future, we think about all kinds of dreams that we'd like to have in life and so on. And I'm sure to a greater extent, every one of us who is watching has an idea as to what vision is. I would say, as I open the conversation, that vision is the locale that positions you to travel from the contours of limitations to the unlimited scope of the spiritual. That's what I do understand vision to mean. Because you see, by the time when you think about vision, you basically acknowledge the fact that where you are at present is a place of limitation. Now, when I talk about limitation, I may not necessarily mean that you are a limited individual, but I'm just saying in terms of purpose, in terms of the scope, in terms of the things that you ought to achieve, you may not be able to do that right now. Because of the circumstances in which you are in. But the good thing is that when God gives you a vision, he's basically showing you a place that is yonder. He's showing you your future. In other words, he wants you to be able to allow him to carry you from the place where you are, the place where you may not necessarily be able to actualize your dreams, to the position or to a destiny where you'll be able to experience his abundance. And that's why that it's always very, very fundamental for every one of us to keep dreaming big, to begin to see beyond the veil of visibility. And the truth of the matter is that when you talk about the future, we are talking about your destiny, we are basically referring to your purpose, your prophetic purpose, because purpose is the anticipation of the fulfillment of a vision. Purpose is the result of vision, and it is the reason of vision. It is the reason as to why you have a vision. Without a vision, you cannot be able to fulfill your purpose. That is the truth of the matter. And I usually say that vision is the process by which purpose is actually attained. You cannot be able to attain to purpose exclusive of a vision. And then the other thing that I also understand about the correlation between vision and purpose is the fact that purpose authenticates vision. You know, in other words, what purpose does is that it ensures that vision is brought to a place of reward, if I may put it that way. Or maybe better still, you could actually say that it is the purpose that you fulfill that vindicates your vision. You know, when you tell people that you have a vision, they may probably think that you're out of your mind, all because of the fact that whatever you have may appear as though it is grandiose. But by the time when your purpose is fulfilled, then that basically means that even your vision is vindicated. In other words, whatever you were dreaming about was not in vain. And so I want to just open the conversation to us so that we can probably discuss further, even as we are going to see how vision and personality is interrelated. So over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. If I can just jump in right now into the conversation. I'm hearing from what you're saying, Bishop, that vision is not limited to grand projects. It's not limited to maybe, let's say, presidential campaigns, let alone statements of faith within churches. It's not limited to companies. It's not limited to perhaps even family units. It's something expansive that encompasses every facet of society. The vision purpose engagement has to become a reality in the life of a believer. If that believer is to truly audit his ability to constantly be found in step with the Spirit of God. I'm hearing from what you're saying that as far as a believer's journey is concerned, the reality of vision is something that you have to always question. Am I headed towards purpose, or am I headed towards my own ambitions? And very easily do believers fall out of that cognizance. And after a while of living, maybe 30, 40 years, they start to audit their lives, and then they're asking themselves, okay, after all this effort I've put up, what have I achieved? I'm starting to understand that vision actually, it's not for the grand only, it's for every thing that you live for.
I think the interesting thing about vision is, as my brother has also rightly put it, there are a lot of organizations, there are a lot of people who have these vision statements. And they're very, very good on paper. But then if a vision does not touch base with certain aspects of purpose, then there's no way that you can refer to it as a vision. And I think the fact that Bishop has been able to say that that you're able to get your vision vindicated through the lens of purpose actually puts a lot more clarity into it, because you'll find someone saying, I have a vision. And even churches have visions, and people sing them over and over. They even become songs and choruses. Some have even called them prophetic songs. But if you really interrogate the heart of the matter, you realize that many people fall short of actually understanding what their vision is, because it is totally disconnected from the purpose that God would want them to achieve within the context of earth. And I think this topic really, really challenges me as a person, because I realize that vision is not just meant to be a statement in itself. It's actually meant to give clarity to your ethos. It's meant to give clarity to the values you're supposed to uphold. It's meant to give clarity to your culture. And it's also meant to give clarity and understanding insofar as how your engagement with people is supposed to be concerned. So said in another way, vision is actually tied to your identity. So if you don't understand your identity, there's no way that you can understand or have a vision. So there are people who are saying they have a vision, but their vision is totally isolated from who they are. And you cannot speak about vision without the understanding of your identity. Because out of your identity, then you're able to now supply to your vision and consequently be able to attain to purpose.
Well, I know we will be talking about identity as interconnected with personality in a few. It's very important for us to know that vision is not just having mere sight. Okay? Because, you know, sight is limited to the surface.
Yeah.
Vision is basically having insight, you know? It is basically being able to perceive stuff beyond the surface of mere sight.
Mm.
Okay? Whereby you are able to comprehend what you perceive by the Spirit of God. So that is very, very fundamental. So let's talk further.
I think for me, the thing that is really captivating me is the fact that vision is not just a thing that it's not just a statement, or it cannot just be articulated in one way. I realize now that vision is more of an expression and a vehicle that drives you towards purpose. It is dictated by the purpose. If there is no purpose, then there is no vision.
Mm.
The purpose determines the vehicle of that is vision, and what it will be, how it will be expressed, how it will move, how it will function, and that is why we can easily lose it or easily miss out when we think of vision as being something that is articulated in one way, like a vision statement, what is the nature of your heart? What is the nature of how you think about everything that you're doing that is geared towards a particular purpose? Everything that exudes from your own expressions. So all those things are a factor. How you think, how you feel, how your heart position, your motives, all those things are aspects that vision is actually birthed into, because that is how you are able to attain to purpose. Because if vision does not encompass the whole person, then I realize now that purpose can never be fulfilled. It can never be fulfilled. Yeah, so I love how you've said that vision is having insight. It's not just having sight. You're able to see deeper into a matter and dissect it in various ways so that you may be able to find full understanding that will propel you, will give you the right information and right tools to go into your purpose.
You know, vision is a function of the heart, you know.
Mm.
Vision is where one, you know, is endowed with insight to set in place the due process so as to capture the reality of the foresight of purpose.
Mm.
And you know, when you are destitute of vision, you are consequently devoid of the hub of existence.
Mm.
And therefore you can't be able to fathom the purpose of your existence. Yes, Mandela?
What I've realized even from the one of the opening statements, even up to this point, is that saying that you have a vision and getting married into the vision are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I can say I have a vision, but the evidence of getting married to the vision is that it propels you. Because one of the things you said, that vision moves you from the place of limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to, even when you started that, I've been auditing a bit, like in the times I've said I have vision, you know, like they say, you know, you need a vision as a man, even women too. But do I have insight into that, or do I just have mere sight? Because if I have insight, it will propel me, it will start moving me despite the limitations that are around me. So if you're stuck at a place of limitation and you're not moving because you're waiting for things to happen, and you're saying you have a vision, yes, you may have a vision, but you do not have insight into really what is going on. You just have a mere picture that has no strength to propel you.
Thank you so much. You know, a person without a vision is comparable to a stalker who goes about chasing after an imaginary prey on the wrong habitat within the juncture of helplessness. Okay.
What?
Yeah, that one is how I look at it. And that is why we need to be very careful as to how we actually live our own lives. Because, beloved, vision is something which is indispensable, especially when you look at it in terms of purpose. And that's why an individual is supposed to come to a place whereby he understands the prophetic nature of vision, because, you know, vision is basically, when you look at it from a biblical perspective, it is actually having prophetic insight, okay? And it is indispensable. And the truth of the matter is that vision is indispensable to the degree that it bears what I refer to as the divine warrant to protect the lives of people. So that, you know, as a person, you are able to image yonder into the purpose of God. And the good thing about vision is that vision is preservative.
Yeah.
It has the ability to preserve people. It insulates people from being degenerated insofar as life is concerned. And the other thing that I've also noted about vision is that it demarcates your life, whereby you are separated. You are separated in a way that you become a choice individual. You're separated from being common. Because it's one thing to say you're a human being, but it's another thing to be a choice individual. A choice individual is an individual who's been separated, someone who's been consecrated into God's prophetic purpose. That's very, very fundamental. Now, I just want us to go deeper into the conversation whereby we discuss and see vision being a function of personality. Now, the truth of the matter is that God has vested his power in us.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the power that God has vested in us is actually resident within our nature as human beings.
Yeah.
When I talk about the nature, it basically entails who we are at a personal level, not what we are. And this is now basically where now identity comes in. Now, the placement of divine power in an individual is actually the identity. You see, your pristine identity is the reservoir of divine power. Okay, and this power resides in there, and this power is basically the efficacy that finds expression in your identity as well as also through your identity. And that is in and of itself is what denotes your nature. Okay, and you know, friends, you cannot function in power outside your identity. A person who claims to be powerful but does not know who he is or who she is a person who is powerless. This is a person who does not know who he is or who she is. And hence, you find that such an individual cannot be able to actualize the fullness of potential, especially in within the construct of vision. Because, beloved, the power in you, what it does is that it expresses who you are as an individual. And beloved, the power to become is vested in who you are. If you want to become anything, you don't need to look on the outside. All you need to do is to look within yourself. Look within yourself, and once you look within yourself is when you'll be able to discover the inherent traits of gifting, talents, and abilities that the divine has actually vested within yourself. And that is why it's important for you to be able to have a conception of everything that pertains to your natural element. That's very fundamental. You must be acquainted with the inherent abilities as regards to your identity as a person, because the truth is this: your vision works hand in hand with your identity. Your vision works hand in hand with your giftings, your powers and ability, because those are the things, or let me put it this way, those are the resources that will enable you to fulfill your purpose.
Yeah.
Over to you, gentlemen.
Hey, Bishop, you're speaking to me. You're speaking to me because in my local church, Infemi, where you do preside as presiding bishop, we're going through a series called The Realms of Consecrations, where we discuss realms and mysteries of consecration. In that series, the last installment was quite jarring for me. I know it's an ongoing series, but the last installment left me with a lot of questions. And vision is helping me understand the answers to these questions. I have a purpose, and this purpose was predestined within my life by the functionary of the doctrine of predestination and God's overarching sovereignty. My ability to drive, to be driven towards that purpose lies within the engine that vision is. Now, vision sources a form of partnership or a form of collaboration with the reservoir of identity, which houses what God knew I would need to get to that purpose. And that reservoir houses divine power, houses gifting, talents, and abilities, and houses all things that pertain to life and godliness. And my ability to tap into that reservoir and unleash the divine power, expressing who I uniquely am. And I say uniquely am because vision, based on what I'm hearing, you cannot operate in vision without consecration. You have to understand that there are things you can do and cannot do. Otherwise, you will not go towards purpose. Any deviation towards the requirements of your journey towards purpose is what will lead you away from purpose. So consecration keeps you towards that path that drives you towards purpose. And I'm now seeing that collaboration within who I am and the reservoir of who I am and the vision that drives me ahead from limitation to the realm of God's accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice sentiments from the cardinal. So I don't know whether Storm Z is able to rise to the occasion in his bionic element to share what he has in his heart.
Bishop is very, very intense. As you can see, he's manifesting that intensity. I want to just ride on just part of what my brother has been able to share. I think, as you've heard, our bishop has been doing a series called Realms of Consecration. And I would encourage you to actually tune in. You can take a look at Infinite Fellowship Ministries, our page on YouTube, and just watch the series and be able to learn and be blessed from that which Bishop has been able to teach. But one of the things Bishop has been sharing on is on dealings. And I think one thing that I've realized is one aspect of dealings is that it deals with the carnal man in you, and it also allows the Spirit of God to take you through process so that you become who He ordained you to be. But in addition to that, I believe that part of the reason the Lord allows us to go through dealings is because there are times where we stray away from our vision. There are times where we stray away from being able to follow the path of understanding our identity. And dealings are actually meant to give us that understanding and that clarity in as far as what our vision is. And not only what our vision is, but the wisdom behind how to pursue that vision. Because one thing that I've realized in the body of Christ, and this is a very, very big challenge, is the fact that I think for us in Infamy, we are an apostolic and a prophetic community. And the Lord speaks to us. The Lord has spoken about various individuals in our community. But you find that a lot of the individuals who God speaks about are not able to actually get to that point where they see those prophetic words come to pass. And the reason as to why that is the case is because of the fact that many a times God speaks, but they do not have the wisdom as to how to pursue that vision that God has been able to give them clarity about. And so there's a gap between understanding what the vision is and also the wisdom behind how to pursue it, because God has ordained time and season. And by virtue of Him ordaining time and season, there's a wisdom behind how you're supposed to go through each and every time and each and every season. There's a season when you're supposed to do certain things, and there's a season when you're not supposed to do certain things. And by virtue of the fact that we live in a fallen world, and because we have the Adamic nature in us, by virtue of that, we have fallen short of being able to understand what is it that God demands in each and every season. And as a result, that vision is not able to express or demonstrate fruitfulness even as we engage with people. And so I've realized that a lot of the dealings, even in my personal life, I think I've actually come to realize that a lot of the dealings that the Lord has taken me through have been an expression of, or rather God trying to communicate to me that there are aspects of vision that I have forgotten, or there are aspects of my identity that I have forgotten, and He's redirecting me back to that place where I'm able to understand what that vision is and how it's meant to be expressed in the season that I'm in, and such that I'm able to manifest and come to the place where I attain to the purpose of God.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's really captivating me in this conversation is that if you said the statement, a person who has power but does not know themselves is powerless.
Yeah.
Which means the power that they carry is just potential energy.
Mm.
It is such a wonderful gift that they carry within themselves, mm. yet they're not able to activate it, they're not able to do anything with it.
Mm.
They're not able to become anything. And I realize now that even when God created man, when God created us, there's the breath of life that made man full in body, complete in body and in spirit. That breath was vision.
Yes.
This breath is vision, because the minute we are able to recognize that which is hidden within ourselves, when we look within ourselves and we discover that which is hidden by God within ourselves, we're able to unlock the very thing that will enable us to accomplish our purpose. It will also be able to unlock the very thing that will enable us to realize our purpose. I've come to realize that humanity, like all of us, we tend to look within ourselves, but with selfishness. It's more of a selfish thing rather than looking for eternity within ourselves. When we look for eternity within ourselves, we're able to capture the vision. And when we capture the vision, that is the only way we'll be able to fulfill our purpose. That's the only way we will turn that potential that is within us into something that is tangible, something that is real, something that we'll be able to use in the spheres of influence that you're in. I've come to realize that in this day and age where we're constantly looking onto Instagram and we're looking on social media and looking at all these different people who are quote unquote making it in their various fields. And you'll find very exemplary, like in any field that you're in.
Mm.
Personally, I'm in the creative space. So when I look at images, illustrations that people have created, you can easily look at yourself as you really have nothing to offer. But the issue is we're looking outside rather than looking within ourselves to see that which is hidden and placed within us, so that we can be able to see the talent, the ability, the gifts that are hidden within us. We're able to exercise them and practice them
If we spent more time doing that rather than scrolling, doom scrolling on Instagram or wherever, where would we be? Where would we be as individuals in terms of vision and purpose? I will leave that to you.
One of the interesting things that I've just been hearing from all this is our vision and personalities, or our vision and identities are set. We need our identities to drive our vision. And I'll say this, sometimes when we stray from our vision, it is because we have no faith in that which God has made us to be.
Mm.
So for example, if I do not believe God has capacitated me to be able to propel the vision which I have, of course I'll now start looking at other people. How does this person live? How do they live their lives? What does this person do? So I start copying that person instead of having faith, and in turn end up rejecting who God has made me to be. And in that instance, I lose the path for which I've been, my vision has been ordained to, for me to pass through to get to my vision. And so even as we, the more we talk about this subject, the more I'm starting to appreciate the context in which our personalities and our visions merge.
Mm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something that I want us to understand even as we continue with the conversation. The authority you have comprises all elements of your identity.
What?
Mm. You see, the elements of your identity is what defines your authority. And that shows the importance of our identity. Because, beloved, who you are is essentially the sum total of everything that God has predestined for you, not what you are. Who you are is the portrayal of the path, of the process, and the journey towards your destiny. Who you are is basically the divine key that unveils or unlocks the divine revelation of your purpose. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, vision is what unlocks the power that is vested within your identity. So you see, you can have power within yourself, but without vision, how will that power be unlocked? Vision is the key.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you capture vision and you embrace it wholeheartedly, then you have the ability to unlock, or you can use another word, to decode, you know, yes, that power that is hidden, that is invested within your nature or within your identity. That's very fundamental, and that is why it is important for us to know who we are. We must know our identity, because within our identity lies the reservoir of power.
Mm.
There is potential within us, potential that is much more greater, if you may allow me to say, than atomic power. That kind of potential can take you to places where atomic power cannot be able to take you. That is a power that can catapult you much more higher than a Boeing airplane. Let's talk, guys.
I think starting on that, vision is a key for ourselves first.
Yes.
You know, we've always looked at vision, you know, being something you impact others with, which is true. It is supposed to, as it was said earlier, it is supposed to impact others. But when you look at it now as vision being the key that impacts and unlocks us first, you start looking at vision in a quite a different manner. It's not that I should be looking for other things to unlock me first, then now I can follow my vision, but rather embracing that vision which God has for me, which will enable me to understand who I am, embrace who I am, and therefore be able to be powered towards that path of destiny.
Mm. Hey. I think I am astounded by this, because I had always been thinking that I need to know who I am so that I get my vision, so that I fulfill my purpose. But now I'm seeing it that vision, the insight, the revelation, that's why we call it insight, we call it revelation, we call it wisdom. That vision is what tells me who I am. It unlocks the power that is vested within who I am, so that I may be able to accomplish my purpose.
Yes.
I now see why I'm meant to immerse myself into God. Without really coming with any expectation, coming with my own ideas, my own preferences. And, you know, we come to God with things. I got saved because God will do this for me, or God has done this for me, or blah, blah, blah. But there's that aspect of really realizing who you are because you've fully immersed yourself in God. And that's the pathway to really getting to know who you are. So that insight is what really enables me to become not a copy or a clone of somebody else.
Vision introduces you to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That's... Vision basically, what it does, it introduces you to yourself.
Yeah.
Even as we are continuing on with the conversation, you know, we need to know one thing, beloved. For you to know yourself, you need to know God. You see, the reason why we cannot know ourselves is because we do not know God. Because God is our source. God is actually our origin, you know? Now, we're not talking about having a head knowledge or getting information about God. Because if you're looking for information, there's so much information about God outside there, you know? But that's what we're not talking about. We're talking about knowing God by revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having an experiential encounter with God, mm-hmm. whereby you allow him to disclose himself to you. Now, when you allow God to disclose himself to you, when you allow him to reveal himself to you, beloved, what happens is you will be able to know yourself as you know God. Because the revelation of God basically serves as a mirror, a spiritual or a divine mirror that helps you to know yourself internally. Okay? Because knowing of yourself is not externally. It's not you going to a physical mirror and seeing how you look. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an the ability to be able to discover who you are, to be able to capture who you are internally. That is very fundamental. And that way you'll be able not only just to know yourself, but also to understand your identity. Because, beloved, know for one thing, you are who you are because God is who he is.
Yeah.
To the degree that you know that God is who he is what determines who exactly you are. Because truth of the matter is that you exist because God exists. And your true identity is a reflection of who God is, because you and I derive our being from the person of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, Bishop, you're doing a fatality on my flesh. But, because there's one thing you've said, if you lack authority, because you lack an understanding of your identity.
Hey.
You know, I've realized people confuse identity with titles. You know, so because I'm a pastor, I think I have authority. You know, because Reverend Richie is an apostle, now he thinks he has authority. He has millions of protocol aids. They carry his socks, his Bible, his tablet, and everything else. And then he thinks, now I'm a person of authority. But you see, authority is not in the people who follow you. It's not insofar as what we can actually see in the physical. You may see all that, but in the realms of the spirit, you're a bedbug. You know, you are so minute. And it goes to show that beyond just understanding what your title is, beyond just having a title as a minister, beyond having a title in the marketplace, beyond having a title even at the family front, that beyond all that, the onus is really on you to be able to come to a place where you understand what your identity is beyond the title.
because it is your identity that will now give fuel to you being able to function in the title or the designation that God has placed you in.
You know, identity tends to dwarf people.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you become a very minute person because it's like you're limiting yourself within the circumference of a droplet of water. That's how I look at it. Identity is supposed to spring forth rather from your identity.
Mm.
Okay? That is what title is supposed to be, title or position. It should actually spring forth from your identity, because the essence of your status, let me put it that way, the essence of your status is basically supposed to be the actual point of your function. Everything else is secondary.
Mm.
Okay. Your identity is what gives definition to who you are, regardless as to whether you have a title or no title. Because a title has got no power in and of itself. If anything, the title should derive its essence from your identity.
Status and titles, what they do is that they dwarf people. No, in Kenya, you must recognize someone from all the titles they bear. Woe unto you if they have done many courses, like some learned brother, not far from where I'm sitting.
But anyway, getting back to the topic.
I understand it now, Bishop, because I see this framework where the doctrine of predestination teaches us concerning the highest level of efficiency to attain or to achieve God's purpose, which is known as perfect will. So God predestines a path for the highest level of efficiency to achieve his purpose, known as perfect will. But because of perhaps the free will of creation, specifically human beings, we have permissible or acceptable will, and then we have good will that is for all masses. But within that perfect will, there are various iterations or varieties of investments that you can possibly have. This is to say that you could have belonged to any church. This is to say that you could have been born to any family. This is to say that you could have married any certain person. But that highest level of efficiency reveals the perfect will. And the perfect will tells that your father and mother were predestined to be so and so, so as to call out certain aspects of your identity within the choice of God's efficiency, such that your church, where you are submitting to, is not just somewhere you go and listen to the word of God, but it was predestined to be the place of pruning, the place of consecration, the place of dealing, so much so that the more you commit to your church, the more you realize who you are, what you can and cannot do, the more you realize the journey that is set out to you, and the easier it is to understand who you are. Bishop, I'm now understanding that the reason as to why people struggle with the perfect will of God, people struggle with the idea of vision, people struggle with who they are, all these struggles are because they do not understand the doctrine of predestination. They are where they are by the hand of God. And the hand of God selected the people around them very specifically to reveal who they are to themselves. And the more they are dealt with, the more they get that revelation of who they are, the more they read the word of God, the more they commit, the word of God is unveiled in varying situations as a mirror so that they can know God and know themselves more from that understanding. Bishop, you have helped me.
Wow, very, very powerful sentiments that you've actually shared. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of God is what preceded his creation of mankind in his image and after his likeness. His purpose was that he wanted to have sons who are spiritual progeny of his image as well as also his likeness. And that these sons were supposed to serve a spiritual science that would actually function as divine instruments of God's prophetic purpose. And then we must also understand that all works of creation were declared by God into existence and actuality as a concomitant of divine purpose. And beloved, everything that exists on earth is purposed to serve man, even as he functions in the image and after also God's likeness. Now, when you consider Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it's a scripture which is common. It tells us something, and this is how I would actually, you know, sum it, that God did a thorough job of concluding his work of creating all of us in Christ, okay? And thereafter, what he did, he decided to first the antecedent of human reality in Adam, okay? So that now God has vested everyone the potential and the ingenuity to execute his purpose. Now, get this, even as I share with the brethren. You know, God created man in his image and his likeness. That is in Genesis chapter 1. In chapter 2, the Bible says God formed man. Now, those are two different things.
Mm.
Creation is what preceded formation.
Yes.
Man was never created in Genesis chapter 2. He was formed.
Mm.
Now, everything that God creates is not visible.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that God creates is spiritual. But whatsoever he forms is what becomes visible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me take it further. This might shock you. Adam was not created. Adam was formed. But he was supposed, by reason of the choice he was to make, he was now supposed to come to the place where he experiences the fullness of creation.
Mm-hmm.
The man that we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that was a prototype. Hello.
We are gobsmacked. Bishop, thank you so much for that. I form light and create darkness. I mean, what you have said talks to the realities within Isaiah that speaks towards the realms of Christ, given that Isaiah's ministry was in the revelation of the person and the realms of Christ. Wow, creation and formation. You are created in a prototypical perfection.
Yes.
But then you are formed for a progression of perfection.
Yes.
Yes.
And this explains also the doctrine of justification,
mm-hmm.
where in as much as we are justified positionally in Christ,
mm-hmm.
because we exist in the realm of the contours of limitation,
mm-hmm.
vision should propel us mm-hmm. to the place of perfection, mm-hmm. to the place of justification.
Mm-hmm.
And the function of consecration cannot be understated in this journey. I am seeing it so clearly.
Because you see, Adam was supposed to have functioned in Eden, which is a type of the office of Christ.
Yeah.
And in being able to partake of the fruit from the tree of life, not from the tree of knowledge, he would have now been able to have assumed the prototype of what now we read in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 going downwards.
Mm.
Okay.
So the way I understand it, and as I've been looking at this for the past few minutes, is that I've just remembered God starts everything with the end.
Yes.
Then comes to the mm-hmm. beginning.
Yes. Yes.
So let me put it this way. Vision is an image of who we are at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we do not understand who we are in the present, we go to the end, which is our vision. We see who we are. Then we come to the present and we say, based on this information, knowledge, insight that I have about the complete me, this is who I should be forming myself to be in the present so that I can go and propel myself to the future.
Vision, basically what it does, it introduces you to the scroll of your destiny, What is the scroll of your destiny? The scroll of your destiny, now this might probably be mind-boggling. The scroll of your destiny is basically a revelation of the life you lived in eternity.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Mm.
So that now what we are supposed to do is to walk in the expression of what we already were in eternity. Because life in eternity is life which is already. It's a life whereby everything has come to pass. So vision now introduces you to the scroll. Now, the question is, where is that scroll? The scroll is within your identity. So when you allow the Spirit of God to take you through a journey into discovering the scroll of your destiny, what it does is that it gives you a vision. When you submit to the vision basically carries you from one point to another point, such that at every given stage within the construct of time and season, you're able to understand what exactly has been documented, if I may put it that way, in the scroll of your destiny. Mm-hmm. Because the scroll of your destiny is basically your existence in eternity, how you lived in eternity, if I may put it that way.
I think this is the reason why even Christ himself, every single thing he did, every step he took, every action, every word he even spoke, you'll find, like especially in the Gospel of Matthew, a lot about the life of Christ is referenced to the to what the prophet said, to what Moses wrote. So a lot of that is like Matthew references a lot because he's trying to show that Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. It that reality is the same for us, that there is something that has been written about us that we are meant to replicate and live out here on in this sphere, in this realm of time and space. So it even explains why you would be able, once you know who you are, you would be able to know when to do things, how to do things, and why. It becomes very plain and very clear, such that you're not in competition or comparison with others, you are so secure in exactly what you're meant to do, when you're supposed to do it, and why you're doing it, such that your success is guaranteed because you have access to your scroll. This is so eye-opening, so eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very interesting, I think, what you've been able to share, because how I see it, Bishop, is that God created the purpose of man, or the office of man. And then now, later on, he formed man in such a manner that he was positioned with the tools, the necessary equipment that he needed to be able to attain to that purpose that he created. So it's interesting because it actually validates the thing that we normally say a lot in our community, that purpose will never be held hostage because of your disobedience. It's because the purpose was already created in eternity. So regardless of whether you disobey, regardless of whether you obey, God is not short of sons who are able to attain to that particular purpose that he created, because that purpose is already there. Which means to some extent, which maybe Bishop, you can correct me if I'm wrong, probably it means that even if Adam, let's say if Adam decided not to actually attain to that purpose that God created, that purpose was still met because of Christ. It was still met in Christ because of the fact that he died on the cross. And so he was the perfect man that was meant to show us the template of the purpose of God that was created before man was actually formed in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, that's very true. Christ was the perfect man. And the perfect man that we talk about in Christ, if I would, is that prototype of man that we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, as opposed to what we read in Genesis chapter 2.
Yeah.
And you see, God expected that the first Adam was supposed to assume the prototype, considering the fact that it was never God's intention that he would actually have control over the earth. Mm. The Bible says he gave the earth to man.
Yes.
And that is why he had to come up with a prototype such that out of that prototype, every other member of mankind, the race of mankind, was supposed to walk after the expression of that particular prototype. So much to say that now, the very scripture, the commissioning, the word of commission that we read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 36, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and so on and so forth, that scripture now would come to pass. But unfortunately, Adam fell short of it. And that is why now Christ, who is referred to as the second Adam, who is not now made from earth, but a life-giving spirit, was able to assume that. Now remember this. Adam was supposed to move from the realm of just being formed to the place where he becomes a life-giving spirit by partaking of the fruit from the tree of life. Because the fruit from the tree of life makes you a life-giving spirit. The fruit from the tree of life is a type of Christ.
Hey, Bishop. Bishop, 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 Bishop. I am seeing it now. You see, Christ did not die 2,000 years ago. Because he offered up his life before the foundations of the world. So he offered up a life that encompassed all lives ever lived. Before the foundations of the earth. Because the scroll of destiny is evidence that you lived a life in eternity that was designed and created for you to model your life here on earth so as to attain to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the design of dominion. So Christ's life that he offered before the foundations of the world, the reason why he's the Lamb of God, is because he offered the realms, the multiplicity of realms, that every life that was ever lived is currently being lived and is ever to be lived had already experienced in him.
Mm.
So by the time you offer that life, every sin, and this is where justification occurs for every person, whether they are completely wicked or otherwise, they, as long as they believe in Christ, they can be saved. And now I see it, because every sin, both in the past, present and future, was already dealt with because he offered up his life before the foundations of the world. And because of that, it becomes very easy to understand that man was formed within the realm of limitation, but was always designed in the realms of sacrifice. Eve was meant to sacrifice the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, so as to let go of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so as to attain to what Christ had judiciously already offered for her sin. She had that chance. Adam had that chance. We have that chance now.
Mm-hmm.
To offer our ambitions, to offer our goals, to offer whatever we are driving towards as a sacrifice, just like Christ offered it. And it is within that order of sacrifice, within the realms of the sacrifice of Christ, that we begin to attain to that prototypical design that we now call the man in the second heavens. I see it now.
Yes, that is very true. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, many times people have always thought that that tree was evil. The tree had nothing that was evil. God does not create anything evil. There was nothing wrong about that tree. God was very categorical and he told them that they should not partake of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just the same way, you know, when God tells you not to do certain things, you must understand the problem is not in that thing that you're told not to do. The problem is you not, living by the underlying principle as to what God requires of you.
Yeah.
You see, anything that God forbids you not to do, the moment you do it, you end up being corrupted. Now, you do not become corrupted by the thing that you have done. Corruption is as a result of that nature that you have acquired that causes you to disobey God. Guys, join us next week for part 2. Maybe I'll just hand it over now to the Bionic Man to be able to conclude this session. Over to you, Mr. Bionic Man, Pastor Storm Z.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Wow, it has been a very wonderful and powerful session. And we really hope that you have been edified by everything that we have been discussing. One of the reasons as to why we have this broadcast called Spiritual Civilization is basically to call you into the place of function and into the place of dominion. So even as we consistently keep referring to vision and as we talk about identity, part of the reason as to why we talk about this topic with the passion that we do is because of the desire to see the wider body of Christ to manifest in the place of dominion and to be able to come to the place of fruitfulness that God desires us to come into. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope that you will still join us even as we continue to talk about this topic further in our next installment of Spiritual Civilization. God bless you. Thank you.